The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome once again to my program Afternoons with Mike. It is always a pleasure to be with you this time of day, enjoying our new time, which is consistent across the Shepherd Radio Network, all the way from Gainesville down through Ocala, the Villages, and all of Orlando and Central Florida, all of the counties that go up against Orlando, and there are a lot of them. We're in a big area, and we have a big guest today. And I mean big in the sense of a great friend with a great big heart. His name is Doug Prusak, and I'm so glad to have Doug with me back. Doug is the Leadership Development and the Director of Communications. I think I have the title right there.
Director of Development and Communications.
You know what? I always blow it. I think I have it. I walked in thinking I'm not going to write it down. But anyway, this guy is in charge of those departments at Christian Help, which is an organization in the Castleberry area. And they do great work for the entire region. And so, Doug, it's great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, you and I are kind of like guys that have been, you much longer and much more consistently in radio and broadcasting and media for years and years and years. And I know that you've told our listeners before you spent some time up in Atlanta working for a couple of the secular organizations up there. Like, didn't you have something to do with golf, too?
I play a little bit of golf. I'm a licensed teaching professional as well. But yes, I did work. I spent 12 years at CNN in Atlanta. And to balance that off for all your listeners, I've also worked for Fox News twice.
Oh, okay. There you go. And to balance that off, being fair and balanced. Right. Okay. I get it. That's a good one. Yeah. So nothing with a golf channel then.
No, it's funny. When God brought me here 11 years ago, I thought that that would be part of the plan at some point, but they're now moving all their headquarters to Connecticut.
Oh my goodness. Away from Central Florida then.
Away from the golf capital of America.
And going to Connecticut, that makes absolutely zero sense to me.
As a golfer and as somebody who enjoys the game, yeah. In terms of the network and facilities and the bean counters, it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
They can take it to the New York area. They get a ton of freelance production and they don't have to pay staff. They don't have to pay benefits. They have a beautiful facility up there that they can do all of this production in that's just outside of New York. So from that perspective, it makes sense. From a golf perspective, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't either, but I love the game. There's a lot about golf I don't get. And most of that is when I'm on the links playing, I don't get it. I don't get what happens to me. I did shoot a 65, but then I had to go to the hole 10. And so, you know, it's just one of those things. I think the best I've ever done is I think I barely broke 100 one time and that's it. But I love the game. It's something about that game. I did not know you were a pro.
Teaching. You won't see me on TV on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I understand, but a teaching pro means you're still a pretty good golfer.
I got my license 12 years ago. I haven't taught in quite a while, but I do keep it up.
So you're a scratch golfer then?
I'm a 4 handicap. So
wow. It's
not quite scratch. I play with a bunch of guys who are scratch and better, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the skill level, the things that they can do, and realize that those guys aren't close to being on TV on Sunday afternoon either.
And you know, that's just it. I tell you, there's something about the level. You know, people think, well, if you're that great, you can make a living at it. And the trouble of it is that there are just dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds and hundreds of players that are that good. And they're all on this tour and they're all competing. And, you know, we've got a good friend that's a pro golfer, and he played, I think, 3 seasons on the PGA Tour. And then just went through a patch where his game wasn't quite enough. I mean, if he played anybody that I know, he'd beat the tar out of them any given day. But when you're playing at that level, You've got to play it. You got to bring it. And there must just be, you know, golf is a mind game too. And there has to be something about it where you've just got this killer instinct and you just go out there recklessly abandoned to playing your best game day in and day out. And I just don't understand that. But
it's a mindset. And I found that I play the best when I play that way. When mm-hmm. I play aggressively, I'm better. But it's a combination of aggression and managing the course. So there's elements to both of that that you have to have.
Well, I tell you, I don't get it, like I said, but I love it. And there's something wonderful about being out there on the links. And when you're on there, on the links, even if you're driving around that golf cart, there's something so relaxing about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And so even though I'm terrible at the game, my friends put up with me and I get to go out from time to time and they just smile and say, God bless him. I was playing with a good friend one time who's a golf pro and he goes, Mike, he said, don't worry about it. He goes, I can't play guitar. So there you go. And it all worked out. That's good. When we're done here, I'll play you guys a tune and then we'll all be even. That's about the only way I can pull strings, no pun in, completely intending for the pun, on the golf course is to take my guitar along. I might be able to do better hitting that ball with my guitar than I am with a club. But enough about golf. It's so great to have Doug Prusak here. Now, Doug was last with us at Christmas time. You were talking about the campaign, the year-end campaign. How did all that go?
It was a success. We reached our goal. It opens the door for a lot of folks to be blessed with. They got a Christmas meal. They got toys for their kids. And the most important thing, and it kind of transitions into what we're doing now, is families get a new start in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks last year with the pandemic, there was a lot of reaction. There was a lot of, oh, we'll put a Band-Aid on this and get people through it. And now we're at a point where it's time to take off the Band-Aid, do the surgery, and move people forward. Get them back to work. Get them to a better job. Get them to a better place where they're not relying on stimulus checks that may or may not be coming or government programs, and just get people back to work.
Now, you mentioned to me one of the joys of your job is driving into the parking lot and seeing the people tangibly in line already to receive some of the benefits, both practical benefits, because Christian Help is much more than just a place that gives, let's say, food or help in some way. You guys go into the process of, and thank God for all the places that do that. This is not intended to be a back-ended gripe or whatever about other places at all. You guys are also one that helps people with their resumes, help them point toward future employment. Because again, we've talked about this before, in Central Florida especially, because of our weather, we have a lot of people that migrate down here who are homeless, who are without a job. Maybe they are employed, but they are underemployed. And you guys help them find a better station in life, so to speak.
Absolutely. And it's seeing those folks outside our building every day. I mean, the lines are there. I probably get there 8:15, and the lines are already forming. We don't open till 9:30. And they're there to get food. We do our job coaching now virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Skype, Zoom calls, you know, Teams, whatever, however we can do it that way. But the answer to your question is yes, there are a lot of folks. Central Florida still has one of the highest unemployment rates in the state. It's far and above the average. Our particular area, Orlando, Osceola County, Seminole County, has one of the highest averages in the state right now. And it's the travel and tourism industry,
well,
obviously,
of course, yeah.
that took a beating. And what we saw as soon as the pandemic started to hit was those families started to come to us. And the numbers got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now that things are, we're taking baby steps back to normal, and there's the hope for the vaccine later this summer, I guess, is how do we get families going again? How do we get them not only fed, but back to work? And to your point with our care managers, the spiritual support they need, the encouragement, the love, and the prayer. And our care managers are always at the ready to pray over the job-seeking clients that they work with. So it's a powerful way for us to have an impact on the community beyond the tangible, beyond the you know, the food and the jobs. There's encouragement. We, you know, just giving them hope.
You know, this ripple effect that we've all seen from the parks, the impact, and naturally, when you have lockdowns, when you have people that are having to just go through the mitigation of maybe cutting their clientele down. Imagine a business being told that you've got to basically not serve 75% of what you've been doing because of either a dining room capacity now that's being put upon you, and you can only keep to 25% capacity. Then you have the parks that are barely open, if open at all. And then we knew that there was always a chance, and how heartbreaking it was when furloughs turned into being laid off. Wow, that was a big one. And I was talking to Dawn Sipley. She works in the area. She has a company for helping people with their hiring and getting their resumes lined up and all that together. And she's working with a lot of those displaced Disney and Universal people, entertainers. Their job was just cut out. And so for you guys that are out there on the front line helping people, what are you seeing happen in maybe, let's say, do you see any evidences of optimism that maybe things are going to somehow get back to where they were?
Absolutely. I think, you know, and I know Don from the Seminole County Chamber, and we see what we're seeing isn't just like the hourly wage workers. We're seeing folks who had corporate executive jobs. It's not, this pandemic and the virus didn't select one class of people. It hit everybody. And what we were seeing in the beginning was even higher level executives were all of a sudden didn't have a job and they didn't know what to do. So the first thing that they, you know, their response was, I have to feed my family. So they would get food. And when they realized what we do with jobs and the enormous amount of work we put into jobs, job coaching, resume services, getting you back on your feet or reorganized, we're taking advantage of that. So it's not a class status thing where it affected one group. It affected everybody.
Yeah. I remember during the Orange County lockdown, the very first one, I think within just, if not a matter of a day, with a matter of a couple of days, a good guy that I won't mention names, but a person that was well known and gifted and in management was cut free. And that company, they used just their looking glass into what they knew was going to be happening. And they made a major restructuring because they said, there's no way with the lockdown that we're going to be able to keep things going. And they've ultimately all shut down.
That's an interesting point. And that is one of the, I'm going to call it a benefit of everything that we've been through, is I think companies initially reacted and recoiled and laid people off and, you know, had the bare minimum number of staff around. And as this went on, businesses took a look at what they were doing, how they were doing it, and realized that the traditional positions that they had may not apply anymore. So the fallout from that was this became a very skills-based hiring situation where companies are no longer looking for how many diplomas you have hanging on your wall. They're looking for what skills you have. And one of the analogies that I've been using is from the tourism industry. If you worked at the front desk at a hotel or a concierge or something like that, the hotel, tourism, and travel industry took a huge hit. If you got laid off, what we're doing at Christian Help now is not looking at what university did you go to? Where did you get your master's? Now we're looking at what skills do you have? You obviously have front-facing customer relations. You probably have computer skills. You probably have another skill or two that you've developed as part of this. How do you take those skills and enter a different field? So you may not be working in a hotel anymore, but you're taking the customer service skills and the computer skills and applying them somewhere else. And what we're doing is kind of taking the blinders off our job seeking clients and saying, oh, I have to get back in the hotel industry. No, not really. What about this? And opening their eyes and to seeing what they may be able to do and connecting them with businesses who may be looking for that in their new world as they've reassessed their needs.
You know, it's so true that you talk about a ripple effect. Everybody has been impacted, even colleges and universities. And I've got great friends that are professors at these universities, and they themselves have been retooled, restructured. Some of them were sent home. Now they have to learn to do everything virtually in their classes. So, you know, it's not only just that people who are in need of a new career, who maybe they have a degree or maybe they were working on a degree, not only are they having to adjust to a world that it might not be that as important as it was prior to COVID, but also colleges are going to have to think about how in this day and age where this whole new emphases, if you will, where people are not now demanding a four-year degree, how are they going to continue to exist during a post-COVID timeframe? And that's going to be very interesting to see.
I think so, too. I think it's going to shift. I think a four-year degree will always be valuable, but I think it's going to shift now towards the soft skills, we call it, when we're dealing with our clients at Christian Help. It's how do you relate to people, your appearance, your professionalism. Having the hard skills is great, but in this world, like you and I have recorded programs over the phone, and we've recorded programs in person.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference
in
I can see your face, I can see how you're reacting, so that when you're on the phone or you're working virtually, there's a different level of connection. And I think now, in addition to having the four-year degree or the master's or whatever, you're going to have those soft skills are going to be more important than ever, because it's going to be harder for you to relate to somebody over a computer screen than it is in person.
So there's a question that I have, and I think a lot of people probably think this every time they're going up to an intersection and there's somebody there with one of the classic cardboard signs saying they're homeless, they need food, out of work, etc. There seems to be, I think, a lot of people who would believe that there is almost like this universal condition that people must fall into, but that's really not true. There's not like a one-size-fits-all problem that's led people to be in need to the point where they would go out and they would be asking people for money at intersections. So when you look at that, when you look at the fact that a lot of your clientele are employed, they're actually working, but they can't make ends meet, you know, what do you think is the a better attitude that maybe the populace could have about those that are at street corners?
I think that's an interesting question. And those folks always break my heart. I hate seeing that. But when you are giving them money, when you are giving them, as you pass by and you pass a few dollars out the window, that's a Band-Aid. That's not a solution.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting by to get by, and you're not helping them take the next step. I believe, and in the experiences I've had and the things I've seen, that money is better served going to an organization, whether it's Christian Help or somebody else you support, hopefully it's us, but it's better off going to an organization that can do the surgery and take those people out of that situation and get them back on their feet. It's complicated, because when you're in a situation like that, you want to do something in the moment, but that in the moment, you don't know where that $5 is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows where that $5 is going to go. And whether it goes to, you know, alcohol, drugs, or a sandwich, that's really up to God. And my wife and I used to carry around little packets. It'd be, you know, $5, a McDonald's gift card, and a little scripture card. And we just pass them out to these folks as we, you know, as we encountered them. And I realized that when you're doing that, it's not a solution. It's not something that they're going to remember long term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an impact. And what I've seen now is I would rather have a long-term impact than be a Band-Aid.
That's really a good way of saying that. And those that I'm sure that if you are hungry, that Band-Aid is appreciated,
mm-hmm.
and it's there. And yet it is oft times I've seen, especially this year, maybe more so than any other year, the same people for extended months. When you drive by a place on your way home, for example, and you're there every day and you see the same fella and you realize that this has become a professional job for this guy.
Absolutely. And I there's an intersection near in Longwood where I it's funny that you mentioned that. I saw a gentleman who was, he was a regular. He was there a lot.
Yeah.
I happened to see him cross the street one day and get into a car that was nicer than what I drive.
Isn't that something?
And it just made me think, okay, this is a living for some people. This is how they do it. And, you know, you ask God for discernment as to who needs it and who doesn't, but you really can't tell when you're looking at them. And I just happened to see that that day and was, and it was one of those, you got to be kidding me moments.
Yeah. I have had so many moments, Doug, where I've taken people and bought a meal for them. I've actually seen people that move my heart. And I gave them money for a motel, or I actually went across the street to where there was a motel and bought them a room for the night. And then being back at that very next day in the same area and see them, and they're still doing it. I mean, that's just it. They're extending, many are. And I think those that do that, that become professionals and drive there. I had a friend of mine tell me a similar story. He followed a guy one time that he was always seeing. The guy gets into a BMW. And it was a much nicer car than what that guy drove. And he goes, how can this be? That's number one. And then the next thought that often comes is, I'm not going to help these people anymore. I'm not going to give people when they do, because they're just taking that money and they're misusing it.
It's hard. It's so hard. And you just, you know, you turn to God for discernment in those situations. And I think that it's your heart's response in the moment is how you handle that.
Well, I like the idea, though, of knowing where your money's going to go, like you said, and helping other people through an organization like Christian Help. Now, that is a good way to go, because you guys have the goods. You're delivering the goods, both physically in the sense of food, and then equipping them with the tools, let's say, to get a job or to improve their lot. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm talking to Doug Prusak from Christian Help. And Doug is a regular on my program. And he's a good golfer. And I'm almost over the golf envy part that happened early on in this conversation. So, God, thank you for helping me with that. And I'll be back with my good friend Doug in a moment. Don't you dare go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. I'm in the studio today with Doug Prusak. And Doug is a great guy. He is a worker. He develops the leadership and oversees communication over at Christian Help. And Doug is a former broadcaster. He knows his way around a microphone, and he's very, very good at helping us all get an idea of how we can maybe have a different viewpoint ourselves on the great need that so many have in Central Florida, in North Central Florida, the need of food. There are so many families that are hurting. And, you know, it's always worse, it seems, in the end of the year. I don't know why that is the case, but in Central Florida, even more so, because up north where the homeless would be, they really struggle in the winter months. It's just hard to survive. Much easier to do that in Central Florida because the weather is nice. But again, you're not just dealing with those that are, I hate to use this, I'm going to use air quotes here, the professional homeless, those that are always out and always asking and doing all of that. But you deal with many people. You deal with corporate leaders. You deal with people that would have been managers, and they too now are negatively impacted by either COVID or a job change or an economy downturn that's affected them. And you guys are doing just a wonderful job of helping them. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. We don't just deal with the homeless folks. We are here to help anybody who needs help and who we can be a blessing to. But it's a lot more than just food. We want to be part of the solution. We don't just want to give people food and help them get by. We want to work with those who want to get back on their feet or who want to get a better job or who need more than just food every month. There's a huge population in Central Florida of what's called ALICE, asset limited, income constrained, but employed. So they're working.
I have never heard that before.
They're working, but they're not making ends meet. They're a paycheck missed from disaster. And these are folks who have to make choices between food and medication or medication and electricity. These families are basically struggling to make ends meet, and they want to get better. They're not in the situation that they're in because of a choice. They're in it because of a circumstance. They don't want a hand up. They don't want a hand out. They want a hand up. And what we're trying to do is to get them back to work, either where they were or better.
And for them to be better, they've got to, you can't keep doing the same thing you're doing right now and expect different results. And that's true in any day. That's true in any culture, I do believe. So you're going to have to do something different. And that's where taking advantage of some of the services that you guys offer could actually put them in a little bit of a better position. And, Doug, sometimes it is as simple as a mindset change for somebody, just like the people you're talking about who might have been working in a concierge desk or, as Dawn was talking about, at one of the parks was a character. You can't put the character's name on your resume and find another job that's going to be equal. You're right. Going to have to deal with some of the things that you were talking about early on that have to do with skills, have to do with the fact that you're a people person, have to do with the fact that you're good with numbers and you administrate well. Those are the kinds of things that people need.
Absolutely. And what we're doing is it's personalized support. Okay, it's individualized care. We walk with you when you come in the door and say, I need help. We will walk with you until you have a job, whether that takes 3 weeks, 3 months, or a year. We are working with the clients one-on-one, individualized care, assessing needs, assessing resumes, getting into their heart. Where do they want to be? What do they want to do? It's not a cookie cutter by any means, because every person in that line around our building, to your point earlier, has a different story as to how they got to our front door.
Yeah.
And no, it's not one size fits all. We assess each client. We work with them. We get into their mind and their heart and try to lay the path forward for them the best way that we can, all along offering love, encouragement, and prayer, because you're right. People come to us who have suddenly lost jobs and they don't know what to do. And they're quite frankly, some of them have been very emotional about it. They've had jobs for 20 years. That job is gone. That's all they've known. They don't know how to respond. So what we're doing is kind of helping them, like on the old set of speakers we all had in college, that little red button. We're helping them hit that reset button and start over. And we just love on them the best we can, work with them as long as it takes.
And all of this, obviously, even for your organization, because you guys have people, you have a staff, you have overhead. If there weren't a building that Christian Help is encompassed in, then there would be no place for these people to circle around the parking lot. It takes money for all of the programs and the services that you guys provide. And we talked about that to a great degree our last time when you were here. And I know that there was a special program that you had at that point in time, $29, I think it was, that you were asking for folks to do.
And that was our Giving Tuesday. We've been serving the community for 29 years now. And the program that we had at the time was 29 for 29. And it was great. It was part of our season of giving. We were able to bless so many families this year and just do so much and get ready not only to give families a Christmas that they might not have had, but give them a new start in the new year. Mm-hmm. And that's the campaign that we have now. It's New Start, New Year. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is creating opportunities through resources and employment. And it's not just about the resume piece. We have resource connections to bridge income gaps. You have an issue with a car or something like that, we can get you in the right direction. We work with you with individualized job search training, career planning. We have our job board. CFEC.org has a huge job board you can get involved with as well. And our job fairs, which we had one yesterday, and Mayor Demings attended it.
Really?
So yeah, it's our job. We have some of the biggest job fairs in the region. You know, dozens of companies get to face-to-face with hundreds of clients, and it cuts out all the online red tape and paperwork. You're talking to these folks socially distanced and all the protocols in place, face-to-face like you and I are. Mm-hmm. And you get to know me in person. You get to see my resume. They conduct interviews and hire on the spot. Last year, we didn't do a full complement of job fairs last year because of the pandemic, but over 1,700 of your neighbors got work because of our job fairs.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the stat is 37% of people who attended the job fairs got work. And this was even as we were coming out of the initial wave of the pandemic.
That's more than one third.
More than one third of the people who attended our job fairs last year got work. And that stat's been pretty consistent over the history of our job fairs. Mm-hmm. We've been doing them for 20 years now. But when you've got a chance to get face-to-face with dozens of different companies, and those companies are eager to hire because now they know what they want coming out of COVID, the opportunities are fascinating.
Hmm. As people look, I know that there's a lot of optimism about the vaccines, Doug, and I'm sure that at Christian Help, those people like your organization are watching this closely as well and realizing that at least we have maybe a plan that could put us back into pre-COVID days where people can get this and feel safe and maybe go about their business. Do you see the day coming, let's say within 2 years, where people could be in the street, on the street, working with your organization, wherever they are, where they're not feeling the need for masks? Do you see that coming?
I do. I feel like in the last week or so, we finally have an actual plan for rolling out a vaccine, getting people taken care of, and getting the vaccine to as many people as possible. And I know I still follow the news. I'm still a news junkie, so that'll never go away. It sounds as if the goal is probably by fall that the majority of people will be vaccinated to a point where we can, quote unquote, resume normal activities. Mm. Again, I'll borrow your air quotes here. The difference is, we'll be able to do that, but the economic recovery from what has happened, I've heard studies that it could take 2, 3, 5 years to get past the impact of 2020. So we're going to be able to move forward, but what does that moving forward look like? What pace and what direction? And that is what we at Christian Help pay very close attention to, because it's not going to be normal. What we thought of 18 months ago is gone.
Well, when you think about how many businesses shuttered, they closed their doors. I heard Eric Metaxas was talking about this in New York, in Manhattan, And he made the comment. Now, I've been to Manhattan many, not many, but a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I have always enjoyed my visits there and walking through. And it's just, you know, there's something about that big city, the hustle and bustle of it all, that is exciting. And, you know, they say the city that never sleeps. And I can tell you, that may well be true. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure there are aspects of that city that's ever gone to sleep. But at any point today, that is not the way it is today, because he made this comment. He said, I see more plywood and cardboard than I do glass. And what a sad, knowing all of the storefronts of Manhattan, knowing all of the bustle and commerce that went on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, and you can see that even from things like the Macy's Parade, my daughter was telling me, I had not picked up on it. I don't think I even watched it this year. But she said they were, and you could see the windows being boarded up, you know, even on the parade. Mm-hmm. So that's a sad thing to realize, that there are businesses, you know, they're not in 2 years, they're still not going to be open. That's a sad reality.
It is a tough reality. And it's why on a personal level, you know, my wife and I support local businesses as much as we can, because those are the ones who really, those profits stay in the local economy. Mm-hmm. Those profits keep the boards and the cardboards out of store windows. The chains or whatever, that money goes to a corporate office. Mm-hmm. Okay. It has become so important to support your local business and to support your community. And that's what, you know, on a professional level, that's what we're trying to do at Christian Help as well, is to support the local community. We're not part of any national ministry or conglomerate or mm-hmm. anything like that.
We're not a franchise.
Right. We're not any of that. We serve Central Florida. And we're, if you were to draw a comparison, it would be to a small local business. Mm-hmm. Same idea. We're all trying to grow the local economy and get your neighbors, my neighbors, back to work. It's not a national picture. And that's why when donors give to us, and we rely only on God's generosity and donors blessing us, we don't take any federal money or anything like that. That money goes to getting your neighbor back to work. Every dollar that comes in is somehow repurposed to make the ministry work and get families back to work.
So the people that you counsel, is there a charge for them?
No, absolutely free.
So you think about that. You're doing a ministry. This is nothing but a down and out ministry right here. And you're doing it at the level, and you're saying, freely you've received, go out now and help people become the person that you can become. That's kind of what you're doing.
It is. And it's funny. I was having a conversation with one of our donors the other day, and he was asking me a lot of questions like you were asking, you know, what are we part of? Who do we relate to? How are we serving? And I told him, we're just serving the community, and we only do it because of folks like mm-hmm. him who, and his response to me really knocked me down was, he's like, it's not my money. Mm. It's not my money. And he said, it's God's money. And
that's a right attitude to have.
I love you guys. I love what you're doing. I love how you're giving back. And, you know, he's been a friend of the ministry for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't kind of a one-off conversation. He's somebody I've developed a relationship with. And to hear him say that really stopped me in my tracks, because yes, we all know that, I think, as Christians, that none of what we have is ours. It's his. It's what we do with it.
Yeah, we just don't live that way all the time.
We don't always. Yeah, there's the occasional trip to the PGA Superstore, but we won't talk about that right now. It's the idea that his heart is in the right place, and it's about giving back to your neighbor, and it's not about, this isn't about welfare. This isn't about anything like that. This is about, it's biblical. You give to the people who need it because you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're lifting your brother or sister in Christ up.
And I think there's something to be said about this. And this would apply not only to giving to Christian Help, but also going back to that analogy of whether or not to hand a dollar or two to the person that's basically at the corner of an intersection. Anytime that God leads us to do any of those activities, and there are times that I've given, and I try to let it be as much as I can discern in the moment, Doug. I try to make it a spirit-led decision. And Lord, is this something that you would have me do? Is this something that would honor you? You know the need, I don't. But anytime we do all of this, we should be giving it with this heart. Lord, I'm giving it as unto you.
You used the two words that were going to be the first ones out of my mouth, spirit-led. Mm. And, you know, I'll share a quick story. I was on my way back from a golf tournament.
There it is again.
Golf. It is golf. It's always around. It's something always golf-related.
There it is.
And I had won some money that day, and I was driving home. It was quite a long drive, and I was in what we'll call orange barrel season, where everything's under construction,
mm-hmm.
right? Traffic was backed up, and I saw a lady, like so many of these other, you know, the street corner panhandlers, whatever you want to call them. But this was different. She was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, am I going to get through the light? Am I going to get through the light? And I pulled up to the light. I didn't make it. And I saw her there across the street, and she started walking in between cars. And you see these folks all the time. Again, this was different because she was crying. And I rolled down my window. I gave her some of the money I just won. And I just said, God bless you. And she exploded. I mean, just ugly crying. And I wanted to pull over and pray with her and all that. The light changed. I had to go. There's cars behind me. But it's just when you see people like that, I think that's where the spirit led is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, okay, another person on a street corner or an intersection. You see the situation. She was dirty. She clearly needed help beyond what my money was going to do, but you do it anyway.
And you do it as unto the Lord. And we trust the Lord will take that. And I'll tell you what, Doug, he's able to do more with our obedience. And I just think it's wonderful that we have in Central Florida, we have organizations like you. Christian Help is one of them. Out there doing it, friends, doing it day in and day out. We're going to be back with Doug and Doug Prusak coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. It is always a delight to have my friend Doug Prusak up again, and I've had fun talking about his love for golf today and, you know, all of the, just the real parts about friendship and relationship. Now, Doug, our friendship will take on a new level when we ever go golfing together again. and that would be like what we've talked about giving. That might be an opportunity for you to play as unto the Lord. Because I can promise you that you would get a very little competition from me. A funny quick story. I was playing in a tournament with some really great guys. And it was one of these, you know, Christian-based tournaments that a lot of guys get out, but there's always a good level of competition in these things. And I was playing with three guys that were rounders. I'm talking about they were great, and somehow they had me on there. And I felt so bad for them, and they were all wanting to win this thing. In fact, we were in it to win it. We were winning up until the 18th hole, but it was like a scramble rules. Every person has to take a drive, and every person has to make a putt. So that was the rule. And they had avoided all of my pitiful drives, and I had, except for one, and then I had to fulfill one more drive, and it was on the 18th hole. And we're close to winning this thing. And so I made another drive, and it wasn't the worst, but it was far from the best. And we were like within a stroke or two of maybe winning this thing. And I did it, and we had to take it, and everybody, you just could feel the the spirits fell. I'd be like, oh, that probably did it right there. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm such a doofus. I'm sorry. I'm so terrible at this game. We all had to then take the approach shot, which right. was, in my case now, much farther than an approach shot. It was a fairway drive that was like, it looked like we were in another county away, you know? So, but on that day and with that swing, I hit that ball that I had just driven all the way to the green. And my friend, I don't know how it happened. I think when you talk about spirit led, that ball was spirit led. And my friend that was playing with was dying laughing. He says, that, Mike, is the shot that was heard around the world. It was just pure luck. But it went on the green. We ended up winning first place in that thing.
Very nice.
And the poor golfer that I am, I got a trophy out of it.
Hey, it's a nice paperweight.
That's it. That and a couple of dollars won't buy you a latte, my friend. So, oh, my goodness. Doug, it's always great, seriously, to have you up here. And Christian Help is one of those organizations. You guys do so much. We've talked about a couple of the services. You guys give food away to people who are hungry, and you give a counseling service for those who are trying to improve their lot in their career. What are some of the other things you do?
Basically, our mission is to prevent homelessness by helping people find jobs while providing for them materially and spiritually. And we're a very small team. There's only a dozen of us on staff. We have a lot of volunteers. Our care managers volunteer with us, but they are very well trained in identifying each individual client's needs. And I know we talked about this earlier in the show, but the idea is to work with folks who are actively seeking employment with a desire to become self-sufficient and stand up on their own, have work with us on a plan that will get them well. And I don't mean that in a health way, yeah, but in a standing way, mm-hmm, in a stability kind right. of way. So there's a lot that we do. We have the food pantry. We have the job services. We will pray with you at any time. All of us, we're all Christians. We're all ready to pray with any client that comes in the door and says, hey, I need prayer. We're ready to go. There's a lot of emotional support that goes with the job search. You've just lost your job. You're feeling bad. You need a good word, and we're there to give that as well.
I'm sure that when a person has just gotten their walking papers, they've just been let go, I am sure that that has to be something that is visible on their face as you guys are talking with them.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, you don't have to have a master's degree in psychology to read people, mm-hmm, that come to us. It's very, it's a word I'm looking for here, apparent that these folks need a boost, mm-hmm, and they need a boost in a lot of ways. They're hitting bottom in some area of their life.
Isn't it fun though, when you talk to a person that you've been able to help them in that point, and then through time, through application, through the hard work that they go through, and they've listened to the counsel, and then you talk to them maybe a couple of months later, and you see them in an entirely different place?
Absolutely.
That's got to be so great.
It's again, it's the individualization. It's the relationships that get built.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky, our executive director, was a client at one point.
Oh.
And, you know, to have that come full circle, and I know that lights her fire. You know, that's a motivating thing for her. One of the clients that we had recently that just got a job had come back to us. He'd gotten a job about 5 years ago through us on a grant-funded program that was going to end in 5 years. He knew it was going to end, but he was so happy with the experience he had with us 5 years ago that he knew when he had to start looking for more work, he came back, mm-hmm, to us, mm-hmm, and he got another job through us. So it's the relationships, and these people talk highly of us, and you know, they think of us well, they stay in touch with us. Some folks get a job and say, hey, thanks, and they disappear and we never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. That's part of the game. Some folks stay in touch. They send friends of theirs to us. And, you know, we don't advertise that we're you know, there's no, you won't see us on TV, or, well, you'll see us on the, hear us on the radio, but yeah. We don't, there's no active campaign for this. This is, we're here as a service to the community.
And you're there, and I know a lot of churches are also partnering with you, including my church. And it's exciting to hear in a Sunday, one of our pastors will be giving an update about an outreach that we've just taken part. And the words will be something like, we've joined hands with Christian Help. And to be able to say that and to be able to do that and realize that I know those people, I, as a person that's in that church and attending there, the joy of realizing that all of our congregation has been able to kind of like bind together and give something that's going to go out toward you.
And we absolutely, we have a couple of dozen church partners like yours that work with us like that, that help support us, that partner with us, who we are happy to work with anybody in your congregation who needs a hand. It's a win-win. We're not here just to take. We try to give back and be a blessing to your church or our business partners. And we're all about building up the community.
Well, you are doing that, my friend. Give us your website before we leave.
ChristianHelp.org.
ChristianHelp.org. Doug, it's always a joy to have you up here. Not only is it fun to talk about all the wonderful things that you're doing, but the next time you're here, we're going to have to talk about guitar. We've got to balance this one out, my friend. So
I know how to listen to guitar. I don't know how to play it.
Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you, Doug, for being here with me today. And friends, thank you for being with us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.